Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The following contest is scheduled for 60 minutes.
Give me a hell yeah!
Oh my God! The ring just exploded!
I apologize, you son of a bubbly!
Excuse me!
I'm better than you, and you know it.
Very warm welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Monday Night Gore. This has been a double header this week. Do check out our Twitter page at Monday Night Gore on Twitter. That's capital M, capital N, capital G. And you will find our exclusive interview with Mike Werner, which is now live on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you are listening. So do please check that out. But this episode of Monday Night Gore is a bit of a classic. We're going to look at Elimination Chamber, the noteworthy pay-per-view that went down this past Sunday. And here to talk about it is myself, Andy Goldman, being joined by Robbie Edwards and Connor Farity. And lads, I think a pretty mixed show, very much a high talking point that came at the end of said show, which we will get to. But in terms of our overall feelings, I remember before we went on the air to talk to Mike yesterday, we did discuss the show overall, and we felt as though it sort of started off on quite a high and perhaps lowered in value and enjoyment as time went on, but for that spectacular and shocking ending. Rob, I'll start with you. As an overall card, what did you make of Elimination Chamber?
I thoroughly enjoyed the first Chamber match. I think that was probably the highlight. And from there, I would have said it went slightly downhill in terms of the quality of the matches. Obviously, the ending was very significant in terms of its ramifications for Mania, which we will come on to. But it wasn't a terrible show. But once again, I think it was SmackDown comes out of it looking stronger for its first Chamber match, and the stuff involving Reigns and the Raw side of it was a bit, kind of just summed up Raw, a bit of a mess, to be honest with you. But on a terrible pay-per-view, the Elimination Chamber matches, as you expected, were quite brutal. So, yeah, not a bad pay-per-view, but we've obviously got another one before Mania as well, so which Fastlane, and Fastlane's obviously the biggest pay-per-view on the road to Mania.
It's your favourite, isn't it, Rob?
It's a great pay-per-view. Well, considering what happened, you could argue Fastlane may actually play a path in the road to Mania, but we'll have to wait and see. But no, it wasn't a bad Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Funny that it was shorter than a Raw, which people pointed out quite a lot that it was shorter than a Raw. But it didn't need to be that long. At the end of the day, we're tuning in for the two Chamber matches, aren't we? They're the main talking points. So yeah, I enjoyed it overall, I think, Andy. Just some questionable moments as per every WWE pay-per-view.
Good stuff. It was the 11th Elimination Chamber pay-per-view event, 2.5 hours, as Rob mentioned there. So that was a nice change of pace. It was nice to not have something that's over 4 hours, which we're accustomed to with pay-per-views. But the lockdown era of pay-per-view seemed to have dramatically shifted their running time, which I think all wrestling fans appreciate. Connor, I believe you have mixed feelings about the Chamber. Whilst there are some things you thoroughly enjoyed and were happy with, there are also some things you didn't. Are you on the similar wavelength to Rob in that mixed feelings coming after it?
Yeah, definitely, Andy. I think there was some things that I enjoyed and some things that I didn't enjoy. There's a couple of matches I had a few issues with, decisions and the way the matches went, the way people looked in those matches. But there were also things I thoroughly enjoyed. I thought the first Elimination Chamber match was great. The ending was good, and we got our answer that we think we all sort of knew was going to happen. So, like Rob, and I'm sure probably like you as well, Andy, mixed feelings on it. It wasn't the worst, but it wasn't the best. And I've got a few issues, which I will go into more detail when we come to it.
Good stuff. Now, the first match was preceded by a pre-show match, which we're not going to talk about, but John Morrison did defeat Elias, Mustafa Ali and Ricochet to get himself involved in the triple threat match for the US title later on in the evening. But the opening match on the main card was, of course, the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match. This was between six men, the winner of whom would go on to face Roman Reigns later on that evening, or we thought it would be later on that evening. Turned out being not so later after all, but it was also Daniel Bryan who ended up defeating the likes of Cesaro, Jey Uso, Kevin Owens, Baron Corbin, and Sami Zayn.
This was easily my favourite match of the night, the best Elimination Chamber match of the night as well, out of the two. It was thoroughly entertaining. Everyone involved, I felt, had something to do, and perhaps the Corbin and Zayn element, which we talked about on our preview show, lads, didn't really distract from the main show. We thought they were just there to fill in the numbers, have a bit of a heel element to it. Thankfully, they did not outstay their welcome. They were, in fact, the two first men to be eliminated. Corbin first by Cesaro and Zayn by Owens. What do we make of the SmackDown match, Robbie? I think you were full of praise for it. And how do you feel about Daniel Bryan being the man to end up winning the whole thing?
I think it went well. I think the two first men eliminated were the right ones. They didn't really have any place in that match, to be honest. Baron Corbin and Sami Zayn. Zayn being as irritating as he always is. The right man, I mean, we all went into it knowing that what we accepted that probably the winner of the Chamber match would lose to Reigns immediately. And they went with Bryan. Then obviously what happened next is poor Daniel got absolutely obliterated because the match took place instantly afterwards, which was a bit of a surprise to me. I thought it would take place later in the night. But Roman Reigns is in charge and he does what he wants, which we all obviously love. But yeah, I mean, they went with Bryan. Poor bloke got absolutely obliterated. Could have been any of them, to be honest. Could have gone with Kevin Owens again, obliterated him. Part of me thought it was going to be Jey Uso and an Uso would just step aside. They wouldn't even have a title match at all. But it was Daniel, who throughout the match looked really weak, to be honest. He was kind of just like chucked around like a rag doll, bless him. And he's kind of been like that for a few weeks now, just kind of getting chucked around. But yeah, who impressed me the most was my boy Cesaro, who obviously I did want to see win, but I thought he put in a hell of a good show at times. I loved when he was doing his pull-ups on top of the Elimination Chamber. My guy, that specimen, that Cesaro. I thought he, out of all of them, I think I was most impressed by him, and hopefully it does mean that he's going to go on to do things in the future. And I'm glad he didn't win, because I would not have liked to see him get absolutely brutalised by Roman Reigns like poor old Daniel was. But I think this was by far the standout match for me. I enjoyed it the most, and it highlighted the quality that SmackDown has. I think just sums up how it has been the best show. And I enjoyed the match, and I really did.
Good stuff. And I'm glad you mentioned Cesaro, because he was our choice, actually, Robbie, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I picked him to win. Connor picked Kevin Owens. Alas, none of those choices came to fruition, much like most of our choices for this pay-per-view. But nonetheless, it was won by Daniel Bryan. And Connor, you know, we talked about Daniel Bryan as a possible WrestleMania opponent for Roman Reigns. There'd be a good ready-made story there of an underdog Bryan going against the big dog, the tribal chief, the head of the table, Roman Reigns. It could be an interesting dynamic. But after the second match, where Reigns did come out immediately after, as Robbie rightly said, and absolutely demolished poor Daniel. To have a bit of a flurry, Daniel put him in the yes lock, but to no avail. Roman soon brutalized him and finished him off pretty quickly. I believe it was only about a minute and a half it took for him to retain his title. Edge, the Royal Rumble winner, came out, speared Roman Reigns, pointed to the WrestleMania sign, and basically made it official that Edge will challenge Roman Reigns for the Universal title at WrestleMania. How do you feel about that being the outcome for Edge? And how do you feel about the way in which it was presented to us, that was the way Edge was going to go?
Well, let's start with Edge choosing Roman Reigns. I'd like to point our amazing listeners to your Twitter feed, Andy, if you'd like to shout out your at Andy Goldman 10, is it, I believe, your
correct
Twitter, where you wrote a fantastic article saying that Edge should have chosen Finn Balor. And I completely agree. I think Roman Reigns is not the right person. I think it's the obvious person, and I think they will tear the house down. But equally, I would have liked to see him gone a little bit outside the box. The way it was presented, I guess you're stuck, aren't you? I mean, he has to choose before WrestleMania. There are going to be no fans until WrestleMania, so you're going to have to do it without the fans. I think it was probably one of the best ways to do it. At least it's at a pay-per-view. It feels significant. The pointing to the sign. So I guess, you know, that's what we've got. It's going to be good whatever happens. They're both absolute show sealers. The match will be probably main event one of the two nights, probably the second night. I reckon we'll probably finish on that and being our lasting memory. And give me a few weeks before I call who's going to win that one. So I guess, listen, maybe not what I wanted. I think I'm with you on your article, Andy. I would have liked it to have been Finn Balor, but I completely understand why it was Roman Reigns. You need that show-stealing match, and that is a show-stealing match, probably more than a Finn Balor and Edge's, if you're looking globally around the world at people who, you know, not like us who watch every single show, who just think, oh, tune into WrestleMania. Oh, Edge and Roman Reigns, I know them too. That's going to be an unbelievable match. So I think they've done it correctly. It'll be a good match. Maybe not my personal choice, but good and well done. In terms of Daniel Bryan, a lot of people are saying this could potentially be his last WrestleMania. So they're going to have to start doing, if that's the case, they're going to have to start doing some creative thinking, because the man looks like he's going down a blind alley. You know, he's not going to get his title match at WrestleMania, which a lot of us thought he would. We thought he'd win the Rumble. He obviously didn't do that. We then thought they might shoehorn him in if Edge chose Drew or he chose Finn. But he didn't. He chose Roman. It also looks like people coming back, like Seth Rollins, it looks like he's got a ready-made match with Cesaro. So you're losing a lot of the top names on the SmackDown brand who've got other matches now. Maybe a Daniel Bryan for an IC title, but then you look at Big E, and Big E's obviously, he's got Shinsuke, he's got Apollo, so he's got enough people already on that route there. So you're maybe looking at a match now for Daniel where there's not a title involved, or you just leave him out completely. So I think it works well for Edge. I think it would be a good match. But I do worry about Daniel Bryan. I think he's a very good competitor, and it'd be nice to see him have a WrestleMania match. And we know that they're very good at getting matches together sort of last minute and building them well. And it looks like they're going to have to do that again, because I struggle to see now where he goes from here.
Absolutely. And, you know, some of the best recent WrestleMania matches have been without title belts. You look at Mania back in 2013, I believe, Rock versus Cena, 2012 rather, Rock versus Cena. That wasn't for any title. Miz versus Shane McMahon, AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho. You know, all these matches are fantastic, and they don't need titles as part of them. And I think Daniel Bryan could be part of that club if he was to have a feud with someone. Just a question of who. I suppose as time goes on, the road to WrestleMania, we'll find that out possibly. But Rob, just to hear from you on Edge, he will challenge Roman Reigns. Bianca Belair is probably looking like she's going to face Banks for the SmackDown Women's title, based on the fact that they're just interacting so much more. They're tagging together. They're having a bit of back and forth here and there. Do you think that because SmackDown is such a good show, we've thoroughly enjoyed it the past few months, are you surprised that WWE have elected to put both their Rumble winners on SmackDown? Because you think they want a bit of traction for Raw, which is sort of dying at the minute creatively, and indeed the ratings as well. Do you not think it would have been wiser to plonk one of those two competitors on Raw to sort of balance the playing field a little bit? Because it seems like they're just putting all their eggs in SmackDown's basket, which for us as viewers is good because we get to enjoy it, but consuming Raw, it's somewhat different because we just don't have that star element that Belair and Edge would bring after winning the Rumble. Would you reckon?
I think it just fits in with SmackDown's dominant show, and I've been saying it for weeks and months that Reigns and Banks are superior champions to Oscar and McIntyre on Raw, and that's not at fault of McIntyre or Oscar. They've just been, especially Oscar, who hasn't been able to buy a title defence since she won the title back off Banks, I think SummerSlam last year, and she's literally done nothing with it, bless her. I imagine they probably didn't think too much about it when they had Edge, especially win the Rumble. They probably just thought Edge winning the Rumble's brilliant, but they never actually took into account that we're going to have both of our big WrestleMania title matches on the SmackDown side. But I don't have too much an issue with it because I think Raw's garbage, to be honest. So you put all your eggs in SmackDown's basket because Raw is a sinking ship, to be honest with you. But the Edge Reigns thing, it will be a brilliant match, I'm sure, and I much prefer it to him going up against someone of Goldberg. But I, like you lads, probably would have rather seen Reigns face other people. There are various people on SmackDown that I would love to have seen him face on the grandest stage of all. But Edge and Reigns will produce a brilliant main event match. What worries me is that Edge could potentially win, which I don't want to see. And that might make me sound heartless, but I feel
it depends how it's done. We've got a long
Got a long way to go, but that's my worry already, because I absolutely love Roman Reigns. I think he's a monster, absolute machine, and single-handedly has arguably changed SmackDown for the better since his return. But look, it was predictable what happened, but it was necessary. And I wouldn't say I'm hyped for the match, but I'm still excited for it. But I think there are going to be matches on that card that I'll be more excited for than this one.
All right. Well, from one title match to another, in fact, every single match following was a title match. This was for the United States Championship, a triple threat match. The aforementioned John Morrison getting his way in on the pre-show, taking on Riddle and the champion, Bobby Lashley, the almighty Bobby Lashley of the Hurt Business. And gentlemen, this one we got totally wrong as well. Who'd have thunk it? Of course, Keith Lee was penciled in for this one. He didn't get looking after his recent injury. And so Riddle is the new United States champion. He dethroned Bobby Lashley, not by pinning Lashley. He actually pinned John Morrison after he got the crutches of MVP, smashed Lashley on the back. Lashley fell out the ring, and he got Morrison in for the pin. 1, 2, 3, and we have a new US champ. Now, I know that you lads, especially Rob, have never been too sold on Riddle. I personally do see him as a valuable player. I do like him. I like his work. I think he's very different, aesthetically, and his personality and wrestling style, very, very different. However, US title victory over someone as in form as Lashley, I'm not so sure about. Rob, I'll start with you because I know that you're quite impassioned about this subject. What do you make of Lashley losing the US title at this point? And can it not be a good thing when we know what Lashley has coming up?
Well, yeah, when you know what we know what's coming up, what's planned for Lashley, I understand the decision. And he didn't take the pin, did he? He was out of the ring, of course, when Riddle pinned Morrison. I don't hate it too much, having Riddle win. I feel like it would have been better saving something like that, having a massive babyface like Riddle have him win it at Mania in front of fans. You have to wonder whether, if Lee was involved in the match, would he have won the belt? I would rather have seen it on Keith Lee because I do see more of a future for Lee in WWE. But Riddle, look, I'm not his biggest fan, but he's a talented wrestler. And look, everyone else clearly absolutely loves him. And there are worse people you could put the title on. But where is next? Where is first challenge is going to come from? I'm not entirely sure. And I do wonder if it's simply they've simply just put the belt on him because they wanted to take it off Lashley. So Lashley can obviously enter the WWE Championship picture, which he has, of course, gone on to do. But it was a mediocre match, wasn't it? As soon as I knew Lee wasn't going to be in it, I wasn't too interested in it at all. And it was kind of just trash match, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. I didn't really enjoy it. And I was a bit miffed when Lashley lost. But I didn't know what was going to happen later in the night. So, because I absolutely love Bobby Lashley. But I thought it was, they pointed out before he entered the ring that he was the longest reigning United States champion for 8 years, which I was a bit like, really? Has he had it that long? And I think that kind of just sums up my feeling that the US title just get chucked around quite a bit and has lost a lot of its significance, perhaps same as the IC title as well. But I think as United States champion, he was a bit of a beast and I would have liked to see him hold it till Mania. But they're obviously inserting him into the bigger picture, which we'll come on to. So I'm not going to lose too much sleep on it.
Was Riddle the right man, Connor? Of course, Robbie mentioned it there. If Keith Lee hadn't been injured, it's quite likely that he could have been the guy given the rub. What do you make of his win and how long do you reckon he can hold on to it for?
Yeah, it's a weird one with Riddle. Obviously, like you said, I would have said it would have gone to Keith Lee. I think that's probably the way it would have gone if Lee was in the match. It is very interesting because there's reports that Riddle is yet to sign a new contract with WWE. So I don't know if giving him the title might sway his decision and potentially make him sign a new deal and keep him there longer term. I don't know. Or maybe it's like we suspect it's just because Keith Lee got an injury and they wanted those plans for Bobby Lashley. I was a big fan of Matt Riddle as he was back in NXT. I think he's got a bit lost since he's come to the main roster. In terms of the jokiness is slightly too much for me. I think to get a win over Bobby Lashley is absolutely huge. I think it would be interesting to see what his title reign entails. Will he carry it to Mania? Well, I guess if Bobby Lashley's going into the frame and I don't know how long Keith Lee's out for, then maybe he will. And that could be a hell of an accomplishment for the lads if he can take that into Mania and then potentially retain. So to answer that question, Andy, and I guess depending on the status of Keith Lee, yeah, I think he could carry it all the way through till WrestleMania and then maybe have a match between him and Keith Lee or something along those lines. I definitely find it interesting. I didn't see it coming. I didn't expect that they were going to put Bobby Lashley into the WWE title frame. This wasn't one of the issues I was going to bring up, but as we're here, I had a bit of an issue with the way Lashley was sort of portrayed in this match. He's portrayed as this big beast who can annihilate everything and knock everyone around. And some of the moves that were knocking him out of the ring, I was thinking, there's no way he'd be out of the ring for that long. You know, he just disappeared for parts of the match. It was almost like a singles match between Morrison and Riddle for a bit. And then you slowly seeing him get to his feet. And it's like, hang on a second. He's only received a Pele kick off John Morrison. Like, seriously, he's not going to keep him down for that long. So I think I get what they were trying to do. But I think at the same time, you've also got to make it look realistic in a way, because it's like, there's no way that would have happened. But yeah, I mean, fair play to Riddle. Hell, he's had a lot of opportunities to get the title, and he finally has, and he was never going to go to John Morrison, was it? So with what we know now, I guess, fair enough. Shame it probably wouldn't have been Keith Lee if Keith Lee was in there. I'm not sure this how long he's out injured for. But yeah, we'll see what he can do, see if he holds it with a bit of esteem and see what happens.
You know what I'd love to see? I think if you take the IC and the US title separately at Mania, give Big E a nice singles match for the title, give him a nice Mania match to help build his career portfolio. With this US title, I think there are so many characters on Raw that need something and don't have it. I'd do a fat like old six-man ladder match at Mania for the US title. Riddle, Lee, Ricochet, Ali, guys like that, plonk them in there, give them something, a WrestleMania moment for them to do, because I think that would be a great idea. And there's two nights to do it. And I think you want to get as many guys on the card as you can, perhaps that need that extra bit of billing and a bit of time to shine. And there's no place to do it better than Mania. So, hopefully we'll keep the titles of Mania. Show us what you can do. Maybe win Bobby over.
I think he deserves to keep it until Mania. You know, if you're going to put it on him, don't take it off him inside a couple of weeks. You know, leave it with him, see what he can do, and then assess the situation come a month or so.
Good stuff. Now we'll come on to something, which, again, I don't want to spend too much time on because I'm not really sure why it was here. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defeated Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks for the Women's World Tag Team titles with the help, unintentionally, from Reginald, Carmella's Smalier, the wine expert, who is, for some reason, part of the storyline now. He seems to have taken a shine to Banks, despite the fact she kicked his ass on SmackDown some weeks ago. He got involved, tried to hand her a wine bottle. The referee chucked it out. She was distracted. One Simone dropped later. 1, 2, 3. Jax and Baszler rightly retained their titles. They're going to face Kyan, Gonzalez, Naomi and Lana at some point.
March 3rd, I believe, they face Kyan, Gonzalez. Yeah.
Good stuff. Look forward to that. But for Belair and Banks, is this really necessary? And Conor, I know you especially are not so happy about seeing Banks take the pin in this match. Why is that?
You said it right there, Andy. It was not necessary. This match was not necessary. Unless they're going to do some mad heel turn where Sasha Banks just attacks the hell out of Bianca Belair, why are they pretending to be friends? Do you know what I mean? This is the EST of WWE. You know, Banks should be not afraid of her because she's the boss, but she should be wary. You know, she should be like, this woman's coming for my title. But instead, they're running around like they're besties. It doesn't make any sense. You chuck them in a tag team match with Jax and Baszler. There's only one outcome. Jax and Baszler win. You're supposed to be promoting Banks and Belair on the run up to WrestleMania, not having them lose. Belair's just won the Rumble. Why is she losing a tag team match?
But is it different? It wasn't clean. It was not necessary though.
You just said it. Not necessary, was it?
No.
Not necessary. And why would you have, like you said, not clean? But why have Sasha Banks take the pin when she's your champion? It doesn't. It just baffles my mind. It's like, like you said, Andy, they've got enough challenges, right? They've got Kyan Gonzalez coming up. They've got Naomi and Lana, I believe, if they're still going to go with that or just pretend that match never happened and that they don't deserve their title shot, whatever. I'm not really interested either way, whatever they do. I'd much rather see Gonzalez and Kai take the titles off them. But you just don't need to do that match. You know, you don't need to shoehorn matches in. And I feel this is what really, really bugged me. And I think the real bugbear for me was you have a Raw Women's Champion and you cannot find a single replacement for her match at Elimination Chamber. I get Lacey Evans pregnant. I get that takes, but you're telling me that none of those women on that roster are worthy to even have a match with Oscar, even if it's like a short match and Oscar makes them tap out just to make Oscar look good on the build up to WrestleMania. But no, you completely remove her from the card and you shoehorn in a tag team match, which makes absolutely no sense. And then you have your SmackDown Women's Champion and your Royal Rumble winner lose. Yes, granted, not clean, but they still lost. It will still go down as an L on their record, and an L that just did not need to be taken. I look back at this again, and I've got real, real issues with the way that Oscar's being treated at the moment on Raw. I forget she's champion half the time. She's not even relevant. And she is one of the best women's wrestlers that they have in WWE. And she's made to look like one of the worst. And it's not her fault. It's the way she's booked. And, you know, the way she runs around dancing and is scared of Alexa Bliss. You know, she's the Empress. Why is she scared? I just don't understand. And then I think that just kind of bled down into this match. And I'm sitting there watching it going, oh, this match just doesn't need to be there. It doesn't need to be there. Oh, no. Banks and Belair have lost. Why have they done that? And then Reginald, really? You know, it baffles me, Andy, and it was a real sort of issue. But I think I had a big problem with Banks taking the pin for obvious reasons. I also had a big problem with Bianca Belair losing when she's just run the Rumble. But I think my biggest issue was the fact that you just remove Oscar from the card because her competitor's pregnant. I just don't understand what the reasoning was behind that.
I suppose it would all be wasted, Rob, if Belair turned around and suddenly chose Oscar. Would you welcome that, or would you rather see? Because I'd like to see Belair Banks, but I really wouldn't be against seeing a Belair Oscar feud. I really wouldn't at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, to be honest, because I think Belair could work with either of them.
She could work with anyone.
Yeah, but the Belair Banks thing, I'm not gonna lie, I'm concerned. I'm so excited for that match, but the way it's being booked, I'm not hyped for it at all at the moment because I just don't really get the angle to it. I wish Banks would just turn on her so Banks can go full heel and work it like that, because Belair is obviously going to work as a babyface regardless. And I do like the dynamic between the two. They look like sisters half the time when they do the backstage interviews. They do look like they're related. And obviously in the ring, they're both extremely talented, if not the two most talented female wrestlers on the roster at the moment, but I just don't get the angle. And I rarely criticize SmackDown, but I am worried the way the story is being built. I don't know where Reginald's involved. I really don't get it at all. His so-called infatuation with Banks, which he denies. I just do not understand it at all, Andy. And I completely agree with Connor. I don't know why this match was on there. You should just have Oscar face someone. Poor old Oscar, bless her. She is really struggling. Not her own fault, but as soon as she gets the title, she just seems to struggle so much. But obviously Rhea Ripley is joining Raw soon, and I say she's needed, but they've got so many people who could face her. Andy, you got Flair, obviously you got Baszler, even got Naomi if you wasn't stuck in a stupid little tag team with Lana. They have the people to face Oscar, but they seem incapable of booking them.
Don't get me started on Naomi.
It's embarrassing.
Back to you, Rob, sorry.
Yeah, it's fine, Connor. I completely agree with you, because the Naomi Lana stuff is just, it's just stupid. That's why I want Kyan Gonzalez to take the belts off Jackson Baszler, because then I think the Women's Tag Team Championship should be given to NXT, because they deserve them, to be honest. And then you open up so many more superstars who can go on singles runs, because they all just seem to be chucked in tag teams on Raw. Got Rose and Brooke, Naomi and Lana, Peyton Royce and Evans was one, and Jackson Baszler. Yeah, I don't particularly hate them as a tag team, but Baszler especially, I want her to be a singles competitor again. So I really do think she could go on to be a credible threat to Oscar, but I just don't know what I'm going to do with the Raw Women's Championship picture. I think Ripley has to be inserted into it, and I'd get Flair inserted. Well, I'd just drop this whole stupid Lacey Evans crap. Lacey Evans is pregnant now, so just drop it and let Ric Flair go do his own thing. Why are you dragging him onto television? There's a pandemic going on. The poor man, he's been dragged onto television every week. It's just a joke, really, Andy. They could give us, if they gave us, for example, Oscar, Flair and Ripley, and then Banks Blair, those would be two incredible women's matches, but they need to pull their finger out and start booking them properly. Otherwise, it's just going to fall flat on its face. And I do, what you say is still time. WrestleMania comes around very, very quickly, and maybe Fastlane could actually prove useful in booking some of these matches, because they need to do something. Because at the moment, I'm just not hyped for anything at the moment. So,
well, you know, it's bad when you're seeing Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose on your screen more than you're seeing Oscar, and that seems to be the biggest issue for me. The lack of TV time, and when it is TV time, she seems to be just standing next to Charlotte Flair looking all confused, bless her heart. But now we go on to the second of two Elimination Chamber matches. This one was for the WWE Championship. Drew McIntyre defending his title against five others: AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Kofi Kingston, Randy Orton, and Sheamus, all former world champions, of course. And as we expected, lads, Drew McIntyre did retain his gold. However, when this one went on last, as opposed to first, I did think, okay, something has to happen at the end now, because why would they just have Drew win and then that be it? You know, I thought they would have done, perhaps started with the Raw one and then move on to the SmackDown stuff. I thought that could be main event, but no, that's not what happened. And as soon as that came on last, I think we all had a feeling, all right, something shady might go on here, especially when we saw MVP talking to The Miz with the Money in the Bank contract before that match. But the match did go on. Randy Orton was very quickly eliminated by Kofi Kingston, which I enjoyed. I thought it was a great bit of storytelling. It just got Randy out of the match, and that was that. Kofi was soon eliminated by Sheamus after a big bro kick. Jeff Hardy had a decent showing in this match, but he was eliminated by Drew McIntyre. Sheamus eliminated AJ Styles, and Sheamus was eliminated by AJ Styles, and then Styles was lastly eliminated by Drew McIntyre. After a bit of shenanigans with Omos as well, breaking down the pod and bringing in Styles to try and get the pin on the two fallen men, that Orton just RKO'd in anger, which I quite enjoyed as well. It's something different. You know, I didn't mind that so much. McIntyre did get the win, gentlemen. I think that we all thought that would happen until Bobby Lashley. We were talking about it earlier on. Bobby Lashley came out and speared the shit out of Drew McIntyre. Before you know it, there's a huge melee going on. He's beating them up. You know, everyone's there directing traffic. It's all very interesting. And The Miz comes down, referee in hand, Money in the Bank in the other. He cashed in, lads. And before you know it, we have a new WWE champion, The Miz. After what, 10 years? Was it 10 years since his first reign? Wins the WWE title off Drew McIntyre. And lads, we've been talking about it on this show for a long time. The state of the Money in the Bank contract, what they're going to do with it. Miz got it off Otis, but we still didn't think Miz was quite up to it. He'd been booked terribly on Raw up to this point. I mean, doing Miz TVs every week, which I'm sorry, is a dead gimmick. It really is boring me now. Team Morrison seems to be a dead-end tag team there. They're losing every week. And all of a sudden, he's your WWE champion. Connor, you're fist pumping. Why is that?
Because last week, Andy, I was nearly reduced to tears about the way that they had treated The Miz and the way they had made him a shadow of his former self. And I'm not saying that they're still not going to do that, but for 1 week, I can enjoy it, because that was vintage Miz, Mr. Opportunity, taking his chances. And he finally managed to pin someone with a skull-crushing finale. So there's another win for The Miz. No, I loved it. This, you know, that's The Miz you want to see, you know, scheming away, getting his opportunity and taking the three count. Sadly, it does, however, look like it's only a transitional champion. It doesn't look like he's going to hold it for very long, which I'm a little bit upset about. I'd have loved to have seen him go into WrestleMania holding that belt. I understand why they wouldn't, why they probably won't do that. However, me personally would have loved to have seen it. And it's just nice, Andy. You know, it's nice to see The Miz that I grew up with, the scheming one who would always take all the shortcuts to try and get himself successful, not The Miz who would sort of lose every week and, you know, get done by Bad Bunny, by a recording artist. So, it was nice to see. I just called it the wrong pay-per-view. I said it would be Royal Rumble, and it was actually at Elimination Chamber. But finally, we get that looming Money in the Bank taken away from us now, where each week we would just be like, is he ever going to do it? And finally, now it's a clean slate, so we don't have to worry about any more Money in the Banks until finally the pay-per-view comes around. In terms of, do I like it? Yes, I do. Kind of. It's a bit weird with Drew. I mean, you know, how long is it till WrestleMania? It's about 47 days or something, is it? 50 odd days. So they're going to have to do a quick turnaround to get Drew sort of back into the title frame if they're going to, you know, want him to be going for it at WrestleMania. So in that way, I find it a bit odd. But from a man who's a big fan of The Miz, I'm happy to, even if it's just for a little amount of time, seeing vintage Miz.
Long-term storytelling, Bob. I like to think this was intentional, but I'm not 100% certain. A long time ago, after the Rumble victory of Drew last year, so his Rumble victory, not Edge's this year, last year's Rumble, right after the pandemic when MVP returned, and he had him on the MVP lounge a few times back in the PC era of Raw. They were having a back and forth. They had a mini feud going on, didn't they? And The Miz said, I will have a personal part to play in you losing that WWE title. Now, of course, he did lose the title in the interim with Orton, very quickly regained it. But it does seem as though MVP's words struck true, and he did have a part to play in McIntyre losing his world title because, of course, his man, Bobby Lashley, was really the catalyst for The Miz cashing in after that massive spear and beat down. This all seems a bit convoluted now because, of course, Lashley has lost his US title. He's now seemed to be challenging the world champion, but then The Miz cashes in on said world champion, allowed Miz to cash in because they walked past each other. Lashley could have said, no, I want to face McIntyre. I don't want to face you, and beating him up. But no, he let him go. Miz cashes in. Now he's the champion. Lashley's titleless. McIntyre wants his title back. So he'll go after The Miz. But Lashley wants McIntyre, or does he want the world title? Who knows? It's all a bit confusing. What do you reckon they're doing with this? Was it just a case of getting a bit of attention to the product before WrestleMania? Is it something that you think, do you think that WrestleMania is going to be Miz's show? Do you reckon he'll main event one of the evenings? Or is it going to be Lashley McIntyre at the show of shows? Because for me, that would be more box office.
Sorry, do you want my response, Andy?
Yes.
I mean, it's sounds like Raw, just a bit of a mess, Andy. And I've seen on social media a lot of people have played the guessing game on what their plans are here. Firstly, I do think Miz, sadly, is just a transitional champion, which I think is a shame because I saw on social media a lot of people were pissed off, but a lot of people like he deserves this for the service he's done. Because since I've started watching, he's been ever present. I don't think he's missed a week of television. And his work as a face in that feud with Shane McMahon is one of the feuds that I've enjoyed the most, I think, since I started watching. But that seems so long ago now. But I think they're going to still book him in that terrible feud with Bad Bunny at Mania, because apparently Bad Bunny can wrestle. So you'll probably see him and Morrison lose to Bad Bunny and Damian Priest at Mania. So I think Miz, I mean, he's probably going to lose it next week in that title match to Lashley, you would imagine. And then you would imagine that they're going to build for Drew Lashley at Mania, because the rumblings are that they want Drew to finally get his moment of winning the title in front of fans. But do I want to see Drew win it again? I love Drew to pieces, but like many champions or many people on Raw, he's been booked horribly. And it's just, it's got to the point where I wonder, am I really that fussed, to be honest? And is it worth giving the belt for Lashley for a month just to have him, have Drew take it off him again? It's just a bit of a mess, Andy, to be honest with you. And the whole thing just kind of feels like someone's had a rush of blood to the head and made a split decision. Because I didn't really know where the WWE title picture was going on the road to Mania, especially now that Edge has gone with Reigns. They've clearly decided that, you know, we're going to go all in on Bobby Lashley going for it. And then, to be fair, I do love Bobby Lashley. And since I've started watching, he's been extremely underused. And the idea of him as WWE champion, I have to say, isn't something that I hate, because I do think he is an absolute monster. But is it worth... I mean, the WWE title could change, what, three times in the space of a couple of months? That doesn't sit too well with me, especially on the roads to WrestleMania. But I think that's probably what we're going to get. Lashley, McIntyre, you would say, if I see Lashley beating Miz next week, and then we'll have McIntyre, maybe McIntyre and Sheamus might have a number one contender match at Fastlane so they can conclude their feud or something. Just so much going on, Andy. Oh, could you not have Miz keep it till Mania and have a triple threat?
That was took the words out of my mouth. I was about to say, what about a triple threat?
It's because I think that would work. I mean, people say, is Miz Drew Lashley WrestleMania version? Well, I said it is, because it's not going to be main event. No. Well, it could be on one night, but Edge and Reigns is obviously going to take centre stage. I prefer seeing a triple threat like that than have part-timers come in and get involved in the WWE title picture. At least McIntyre, Miz and Lashley have always been there over the last couple of years. And I would do that, and it saves Miz from that stupid Bad Bunny feud. Have that triple threat. That's what I would do, but I don't. It's just a bit of a mess. And it just seems like Raw, it's a mess, Andy.
I'll be very frustrated if he does lose the title next week. I just think for the service he's done, to constantly lose week in, week out, I'd be very, very annoyed if they if Lashley was just to go out and absolutely annihilate him, which he could very well do and probably will happen. But like you both said, I would like to see a triple threat match at Mania between the three.
And I think, in fairness to Miz, I think this is a great reward for unbelievable loyalty and great work over a long period of time. He's the first ever two-time Grand Slam champion, or basically, which means he's won the WWE, IC, US tag team titles at least twice. He's the first person to ever win all those titles at least two times, which is phenomenal. It really is. And he'll go down as the only man thus far to be able to say, I've done that, which is fantastic. And it's a reward for all his good work.
Exactly that. And it's not just, you know, exactly that, the good work. It's not like just service, like he's just been there and he's been loyal. The work he produces week in, week out is absolutely top notch. And that is why I think if he was to lose it next week, it's such a disrespect to the man.
I think Drew, Lashley and Miz would work really well, because you'd have Drew the baby face, Lashley the absolute monster, the heel, and then Miz just kind of being the shit house that he is. I think that could work well, but I mean, I certainly don't see it happening.
Maybe neither.
I can see Miz dropping it next week. I really can. And then Fastlane will play a part in who's going to challenge Lashley at Mania.
You know, it could be fun seeing on the outside the Hurt Business in Lashley's corner, Morrison in the corner of the Miz, and McIntyre, that lone wolf, not Baron Corbin, lone wolf kind of character, you know. So I don't think that's such a bad shout, Robbie. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen, though.
But it would be nice.
Drew Lashley, I think, would be a good match. I thoroughly enjoyed the one they had way back at Backlash, I think it was last year, in the early days of Drew's title run. I think I said back then I would like to see it again in the future. And Lashley is by far the most, he's the most dominant member of the Hurt Business. I mean, last night, Cedric and Shelton Benjamin went up against the Lucha House Party, which I don't know who's going to challenge them for the Raw Championships anytime soon. So Lashley is a monster. But I don't know if I like the idea of Miz losing the belt within 2 weeks, then Lashley holding it for a month, and then Drew taking it back off him, which seems to be the plan. But I don't know, Andy, but at least it's not part-timers involved, I suppose. At least the WWE title is being, everyone involved is full-time, which people pointed out on Twitter is refreshing to see, and I do agree with that.
Well, Goldberg won the Universal title at Fastlane in 2017, so let's not rule anything out yet. Christ. That brings us very nicely on to this week's Power of Five. It's a Power of Five. You know the drill. Top five wrestlers of the week. Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, Impact, you know, Evolve. I don't care. Whatever you want. Connor, we'll start with you. Your top five wrestlers of the week, please.
Okay, well, I have a little confession to make to our listeners. Sadly, due to other commitments, I have been unable to watch AEW or Impact this week. So no one from AEW or Impact will be entering into my Power of Five. I do apologise. I will get round to it, but unfortunately, they will not be in my Power of Five. Right, so to kick off, at number five, I've gone NXT and I've gone Raquel Gonzalez. The reason I've gone Raquel Gonzalez is because she's absolutely brilliant, but we don't really hear her that much on the mic, and we don't know how good she is on the mic. And the promo she was cutting in the middle of that ring to Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler this week, or last week, sorry, were absolutely phenomenal. And I'm thinking, you know, I already thought this woman was the real deal, but after hearing that, I'm thinking, wow, she really, really is the real deal. So she comes in at number five for me. At number four, Andy, someone who is used absolutely shockingly, but every time I see her, she performs fantastically. And it's Naomi. Again, at number four, I've gone for Naomi purely because I just think she's brilliant. I think she's a great wrestler. Again, I think she's great on the mic. She's used shockingly, but even when she's used shockingly, I still see her perform to the best of her ability. And I just want more from her. I want to see more of her. So she goes in at number four for me. At number three, I've gone for a tag team. I've gone to the Blue Brand, and I've gone for Chad Gable and Otis. And it looks like a little bit of a heel turn is coming from the Alpha Academy after Gable told Otis to absolutely annihilate Rey Mysterio, which got them disqualified. But again, I'm seeing a different edge to them, a different edge to Chad Gable and Otis, which I'm really enjoying. So they go in at number three for me. At number two, I've gone back to the black and gold brand and I've gone for Adam Cole. He absolutely annihilated Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor yet again on NXT. And it looks like the UE are over. The way he was sort of crouching the ring, holding up the title over Finn Balor, I thought was fantastic. And at number one, it's got to be the A-lister. It's The Miz. The man who's done epic work for the brand gets his second WWE title 10 years after he took it off Randy Orton. Fantastic work from the man. And he goes in at number one for me.
Beautiful. Nice one, Connor. I'll go next. And then, Robbie, you can close with your power of five. At number five for me, it is Bobby Lashley, the man who's, you know, had a long and lengthy career, started in 2006, was always destined for world title success, but it finally seems as though he might be on the track to do that, and I'm all for it. So Bobby Lashley is my number five. And number four is Adam Cole, exactly the same as Connor, for reasons which I thought Adam Cole would be done with NXT. I thought, where else can he possibly go? But a feud with his UE brothers seems to be on the cards, and I'm all in on that. And number three, it's Kenny Omega, another fantastic heel performance on Dynamite, getting the best of John Moxley again. The segment in the elementary school was hilarious. He is so up himself. It is unbelievable. And I always look forward to seeing him on my TV screen. At number two, it's Riho. Woohoo! She goes back. I've loved it. Her little face. She's so small. She's so little with Riho. And she came in and she defeated the NWA World Women's Top Champion Serena Deeb to progress in the Women's Eliminated Title Tournament, which I'm very happy about because I want to see Riho do well. Let's not forget she was the first ever world champion for the women in AEW. And at number one, same as Connor, it's got to be The Miz. The man is a living legend. He's a Hall of Famer, a future Hall of Famer for sure. And he deserves to be rewarded for all his stellar work over the past, God, about 13 years or so, maybe 14, 15 years coming up very soon. So that is my power of five. Robbie, over to you.
So my lots of similarities in mine. At number five, I went for Otis and Chad Gable, a heel term for them, which I thoroughly enjoyed. I think the SmackDown Tag Team division is in a good place. They've got Street Profits, the Tag Team Champions, of course, Otis and Gable, and the Mysterios now seem to be tag teaming. And if you get the Usos back as well, I think you've got five very good tag teams there. So I thoroughly enjoyed that match and the heel turn by Otis and Gable, as I love the two of them tag teaming together. Number four is Riho, the same as you, Andy. It was lovely to see her back on our TV screens this week. And she had a very, very good match with Serena Deeb. At number three, I have gone for Bobby Lashley as well. The man is a monster. And Drew looked like he was about to die after he was speared several times. Looked like he was struggling for air, the poor man. At number two, I have gone for my boy, Adam Cole. We questioned whether the UE were actually splitting up. After what he did to Carl this week, I think we can safely say that his friendship with him has been disregarded because he absolutely brutalised poor Kyle. It was quite disturbing to see. But at the same time, I loved it because Adam is a brilliant heel and he always will be. And number one, I too have gone for The Miz. Not always his biggest fan, but like you two, I think he deserves this moment in the spotlight. It might not last too long, but we must cherish it while it does.
Good stuff. Well done, boys. Solid power of five, some similarities, some differences, but all good choices nonetheless. And that concludes our episode on the Elimination Chamber, a mixed bag, but on the whole, very noteworthy indeed. And we'll feel the rippling effects of this for all the months to come on the road to WrestleMania, which is well and truly going in the right track. But from me, from Connor, and from Robbie, we thank you very much for listening. Do stay tuned on our social medias, at Monday Night Gore on Twitter, Monday Night Gore, all one word, on Instagram. And don't forget to check out the interview with Mike Werner, which is available now. It's an absolute corker. But from me and the lads, we thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and we will see you next time.